Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. And I invite you again to hear the word of God. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, last Sunday, I was watching the Eagles game with our kids. And if you saw, you know, it was tied 24-24 with 1 second left in the game when a rookie kicker playing in only his second game in the NFL kicked a 61-yard field goal to win the game. If you're not a football fan, that is as close to as impossible as you can get. It happens, but it is very, very rare. So when he lined up to kick this, we're all thinking, "Oh, there's no way that he's going to make this. It's going to go to overtime. Well, he's going to miss this." And then he made it. And, I mean, it was this amazing, improbable, unbelievable moment. It felt like the whole city was buzzing about it. Everybody's, "You know, can you believe that this happened?" The players, the fans, everybody was so excited. So the next morning, I was at the airport. I was flying to a conference down in Florida. We were lined up at the gate waiting to board the plane. There were all these people around me wearing Eagles shirts and jerseys and hats, and they're all talking about the game. There was laughter and excitement and camaraderie among people who didn't even know each other. And so one man walked up, and this man said to him, "What'd you think about that game yesterday?" And the man said, "It was good at the end, but wasn't much of a game before that. There are all kinds of problems." And everyone is just standing there looking at him like, "Are you kidding me? Like, this was the most exciting ending to an Eagles game that any of us can remember. It was an amazing finish that none of us expected. It shouldn't have happened. They won, and you're complaining." It reminds me of the story of the church that's gathered for worship when all of a sudden the ceiling opens up and Jesus himself descends down into the sanctuary and the people are filled with awe and wonder and they're singing songs of praise. But there's this one man in the back who says, "Well, who's going to pay to fix this roof?" Some people can find something wrong and complain about anything. I hear echoes of that in this story from Exodus. People of Israel must have been Eagles fans. A long-suffering people. Just last week, we heard the story of how the people of Israel were out in the wilderness, and they were running out of food. So they complained to God, "Why did you bring us out here? We're going to starve to death out here." And so God rains down bread from heaven, and there was enough each day for everyone. The very next thing it says, right after that story, is that they come to a place where there's no water for them to drink. So we just heard this story about how they all witnessed this miraculous moment where God provided for them, kept them alive. This is fresh in their memory. And so what do the people of Israel do? they complain. Why did you bring us out of Egypt where we had plenty of water just to kill us with thirst out here in the desert? And Moses is standing there like, are you kidding me? Did you not just see what happened? What our God can do? And you're complaining? But the people of Israel say, well, is the Lord among us or not? That's a great question. And one that deeply resonates in our world and our lives. We have witnessed instances, all these instances in the world, in our lives, of God providing and making life possible. These amazing signs or simple reminders of God's presence with us and God's love for us. But then we see hurricanes and earthquakes and terrorism and war and international tension and racial tension, political divisiveness, poverty, hunger, sickness, injustice, people we love and people we don't even know suffering. And it's like, even though we have seen over and over again that God is with us and that God is good, we see all of that and we start to wonder, is the Lord among us or not? The Jewish religious leaders essentially ask that same question of Jesus. The story that we just heard, it takes place right after Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey and the people proclaim him as king. Then he enters into the temple and drives out the money changers, the people who are buying and selling animals for sacrifice, the people who are taking advantage of the poor and profiting off of faith. The Jewish religious leaders see Jesus do this, and they say to him, by what authority are you doing these things? What gives you the right to do this? I mean, they're asking him, is your authority from God, or is it just human authority? Is the Lord among us or not? Jesus answers them by asking a question and telling a parable. The question he asks is about John the Baptist. Where did John's authority come from, God or man? If they say that John's authority was of man, which is what they believe, then the people will turn against them because the people loved John. But if they say that John's authority was from God, well then why didn't you believe him? Why didn't you listen? So they say they don't know, and Jesus tells them a parable. Man has two sons. He tells the first son to go out and work in the vineyard. For whatever reason, the son says no. So the father goes to the other son, tells him to go out and work in the vineyard. He agrees, says he will, doesn't go. Meanwhile, the first son changes his mind. He says, I'll go out and do what my father wants me to do. Jesus asks them, which one did the will of his father? And they say, well, the first one, the one who went and did what his father asked him to do. Jesus uses this to say to them, okay, John came to you, showing you God's way, the way of righteousness. And you didn't listen to him. You didn't do what he told you to do. You ask where my authority is from, is God among us or not? You have already seen that in John. That was all the proof that you need, and you still don't get it. You just keep complaining. Meanwhile, these tax collectors and prostitutes, sinners, they listened. They changed. They did the will of their father, and so they are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. Now, we have to be careful not to hear that as they are going into the kingdom of God instead of you. That's not what Jesus says here. He says they are going ahead of you. The Greek word there is proago. Let me hear you say proago.
Proago.
Proago is made up of two Greek words, pro, which means before, ago, which means to lead, to guide, to take someone's hand and show them the way. Jesus is saying here, there is room in the kingdom of God for all of you. And they're going to show you the way. Remember, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not just talking about going to heaven after we die. He is talking about doing the will of God here and now on earth as it is done in heaven. So he is telling these Jewish religious leaders, you're not doing the will of God. These tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners, they are. And so they will take you by the hand and they will show you how. All of this serves to answer their question and ours. Is the Lord among us or not? We know the Lord is among us because God's will is being done. By us, by others, that's how we know that God is present and at work among us, even in the midst of suffering and fear and anxiety and tension and injustice. We see these glimpses of God's will being done. It reminds me of the movie Bruce Almighty, where Jim Carrey plays Bruce, a man who is just really struggling in life. Nothing seems to be working out the way that he wants it to, even though he has got a really good life. He just complains about everything. There's this one part early in the movie where he is in the midst of this crisis of faith, and he's driving around town praying to God, begging for a sign. Just give me a sign, Lord. And this road construction truck pulls in front of him with all these signs loaded in the back, like street signs that say, wrong way, stop, turn around. But he doesn't see them. He doesn't get it. He just complains about, oh, now the truck is slowing me down. So later in the movie, Bruce meets God. And God says to him, you keep asking me for a sign, for a miracle. Be the miracle. It's like the quote that's often attributed to Gandhi. It appears to be a summary of the quote that's on the cover of the bulletin this morning, where it says, be the change you wish to see in the world. If you look around at hurricanes and earthquakes and it makes you ask, is the Lord among us or not? Be the presence of God in the world. If you look around and see racial and political tension, divisiveness, and ask, is the Lord among us or not? Be the presence of the Lord in the world. If you see injustice and poverty and hunger and sickness and suffering, it is so easy to get overwhelmed by all of that and question whether the Lord is among us or not. Be the presence of the Lord in the world by doing God's will, by providing for those who thirst, whether it's for water or for justice or for peace or comfort or healing or forgiveness or love. Be the answer to your own question. There's a saying that any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. But Christ calls us to more than that. He calls us to resurrection, life in the midst of death, possibilities in the midst of the impossible. And he calls us not to just sit around and wait for that to happen, but to live it, to be the power of resurrection in this world. Don't just cry out against injustice, work for justice. Don't just cry out against divisiveness, work for unity. Don't just cry out against war, work for peace. Don't just cry out against hunger, feed the hungry. Like water from a rock, the proof of God's presence can come from the most surprising, unexpected places. From prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners, and even from us.